Arizona News Radio. It's the first full day of freedom for a man in prison for 42 years.
Flanked by his lawyers and those from the Arizona Justice Project, Lewis Taylor was overwhelmed with emotion, welling up with tears several times as he thanked God for the efforts that won him his release from a natural life sentence dating back to 1970 at the Tucson Pioneer Hotel fire when he was convicted in the deaths of 29 people.
Attorney General Tom Horn will sue the Bisbee City Council after they approve a civil union ordinance.
You can't change a state statute by a city council saying that the statute will be different within its borders than it will be statewide. State statutes are statewide.
Domestic violence expert again testifying in the Jody Arias trial.
She talks about unconditional love several times that I remember, for sure, and in interviews with her. But she also does not talk about being jealous.
Animal statues not actually stolen from a home near Prescott.
Recently, he decided to go pick them up after all these years, which he did. He said he left a note on the door.
George County, Arizona News.
This check of your KFNX traffic brought to you by Hammer Mill Paper. Chandler, an accident on Alma School Road at Elliott Road. Tempe, a serious accident on Rio Salado Parkway at Loop 101 Price Road. Used University as an alternate. In Scottsdale, a wreck on Miller Road at Chaparral Road. And finally, in Phoenix, a collision on 19th Avenue south of Cactus Road. Hammer Mill Paper is 99.99% jam-free, guaranteed. Don't you wish traffic was? Hammer Mill Paper, no worries.
Jim Howell from the KFNX Weather Center, well above normal for this first week in April. As a matter of fact, we're 93 degrees tomorrow, a good 12 degrees above that normal mark. We keep it at 90 or above throughout the weekend, but finally some cooler air next week. Jim Howell, Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX.
87 degrees in downtown Phoenix. Next news in 30 minutes or when it breaks right here on Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX.
GEICO says, let's make life simpler.
You need to buy something, but you don't want to make a mistake. So what do you do? Scour the web? Collect sales circulars? Ask your brother-in-law? How about this? When it comes to car insurance, GEICO has a 97% customer satisfaction rating. I repeat, 97%. So make it simple. Just ask a friend who has GEICO. Then click or call. You could make it 98%.
GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Because Susan switched to GEICO and saved hundreds of dollars on car insurance, her retirement account wants to bake her a chocolate cake. But it can't. It's a retirement account. It doesn't have the upper body strength to lift a cake pan into an oven. Switch to GEICO, and every time you see the savings, you'll know your retirement account wants to bake you a chocolate cake. But remember, it can't. It's a retirement account. It is, however, happy that you're saving money.
GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Brooklyn, you are out of order!
When I grew up,
you're out of order!
I want to be a lawyer just like you.
You're out of order!
Good for you, son.
The whole trial is out of order!
If there's one thing America needs,
they're out of order!
It's more lawyers.
Oh. You got my pride hanging out of my bed.
Welcome to Legalese. This is your host, Jack Wilinchek. You know, at the top of the hour here, what I want to talk about is recently the town of Bisbee has passed an ordinance legalizing civil unions. This is a real hot topic in the news. We're going to be joined here on the show very shortly, if we haven't already, by Arizona Attorney General Tom Horn, who has said to the town that he's going to file a lawsuit challenging its new civil union ordinance. There's no timeline yet as to when he's going to do that. Do we have Tom on the line yet? We're still waiting for Tom. Later in the show, I'll be talking to Arizona's teenage Republicans, who I've got sitting here in the studio with me and looking at all their bright, smiling faces. Gives me some hope for the future. You know, before we get Tom on the line here, we'll talk a little bit some more about the civil union ordinance. You know, legally, it's of course the show about the law, so let's talk about the law that's involved. Legally, it's an interesting issue. Because Arizona, while it has banned same-sex marriage constitutionally, it has not specifically banned civil unions. But, you know, I think I've got somebody on the line here who can talk about the law with a lot more authority than I can. Tom Horn, are you on the line?
I'm here.
Thanks so much for coming on the show, Tom.
My pleasure.
All right, so I was just telling the audience that the news here is that Bisbee has passed an ordinance legalizing civil unions. First of all, I feel like this kind of came out of nowhere. I don't know if your office had any heads up on this or kind of where this came from.
No, we found out about it just a couple of days ago.
Yeah. And the news is that you threatened, or I don't know if I want to use the word threatened, but you've said that you will file a lawsuit challenging the new civil union ordinance.
That's correct. I did threaten them. I tried to get them to not do it, and now that they've done it, I will be filing a lawsuit within the next week.
Within the next week. When is the ordinance scheduled to take effect?
I think in 30 days.
Right. You know, legally, this is kind of an interesting issue. I think that you I don't know if you want to express an opinion on where you actually stand on the policy of it. I take it that as the Attorney General, you probably do not want to do that.
That's correct. I'm not expressing an opinion on the policy. I'm not saying anything for or against civil unions. There are some civil unions that are not illegal. For example, Phoenix had a civil union provision for registration where to be used for hospital visitations. That doesn't run afoul of any state laws, and so I don't see any problem with that, from my standpoint, any problem with people talking about symbolic civil unions. The problem that we have is that the Bisbee City Council has passed an ordinance that lists seven statutes in seven separate numbered paragraphs, which they say they're going to change those statutes as they apply within the limits of the city of Bisbee. Well, they can't do that. A state statute applies statewide. A town has only those powers. Towns are not sovereigns, like the state is a sovereign and the federal government is a sovereign. The town is not a sovereign. The town is a creation of the state. It has only those powers that are granted to it by the Arizona Constitution or Arizona statutes. And they have granted it powers over purely local matters, parking, speeding, traffic, zoning, public works, and so on. But there are other matters that are considered to be of statewide importance where the legislature passes state statutes. In this case, we're talking about a state statute on community property, a state statute on inheritance, a state statute on appointment of a personal representative, and so on. And what they're doing is those statutes passed by the legislature apply statewide without exception. They don't apply some places of the state and not other places of the state. Now, they're saying that in Bisbee, those statutes will not apply as written, that they'll change them, and that's totally beyond their powers. They don't have the power to do that. They have a power to advocate for civil unions. They can go to the legislature and advocate for them. They have precious First Amendment rights to do that, or to try to unelect representatives who won't change them if they want to do that. But they do not have the power to have a city ordinance change a state statute.
So your position is that there is such a thing as a civil union in a municipality that would not violate the state statutes. You mentioned before that Phoenix has a law or an ordinance along those lines that, in your opinion, does not violate state statute.
That's correct.
But the problem here is that, and you know, I've got the letter that you sent to the city council here in front of me. The problem here is that that's not what they're doing. They're trying to change things that are a matter of statewide law. As you mentioned, community property, inheritance property. You know, these are things that typically argued over in state court, not in a municipal court. So, I find it hard to disagree with that position legally. I don't see how, community property, people aren't filing for divorce in municipal court. They aren't arguing over appointments of personal representatives. That's a probate matter. It goes to state court. I think it's pretty hard to disagree that these are all issues that wind up under the jurisdiction of the state and not of the city.
That's correct.
All right. As I said before, I feel like this kind of came out of nowhere. You are acting on it pretty quickly, and this has certainly turned up a lot of talk, a lot of buzz in the news. I was just reading something that E.J. Montini put out, and Lori Roberts has weighed in on this as well in the Arizona Republic. A lot of their criticism of what you're doing here seems to be, again, that along policy lines. I know that E.J. Montini said something along the lines of that, it's a shame that this little town has to be on the right side of history and the rest of the state has to be on the wrong side of history, something like that. And I know the point you're trying to make here today is that this is not a policy thing. This is a law thing.
Exactly. He may be right. They might be on the right side of history, and the rest of the state might be on the wrong side of history, but they don't have the power to pass a city ordinance that violates state statutes.
So technically, there could be such a thing as a civil union that would not run afoul of state law, and that could apply just in a particular city.
Correct.
All right. I said earlier you're planning to file a suit pretty quick on this, and I guess that's where we'll leave that issue. You know, let me ask you, Tom, is there anything else going on right now in the Attorney General's office? I saw you just put out a press release, too, about extradition of a high-ranking drug cartel member.
Yeah, that's very, really important. You know, the way Colombia conquered its drug problem was to start extraditing drug cartel leaders to the United States where they could be prosecuted without the corruption that they had in Colombia coming into it. And I established a task force with the Federal Marshal's Office about a year ago to work together on extraditions, and the Marshal's Office is doing a terrific job, and we're working together very well, and we have this fellow arrive in Phoenix last night to face trial here for his work with the drug cartel.
Yeah, that's good. We got just about 2 minutes here before we go to the break, but I just want to say you're doing a great job over there, Tom, as Attorney General. Is there anything else that you'd like to get out there on the air?
Well, I think you've covered the immediate things, and I value our friendship. Thank you, Dennis.
Yeah, absolutely. This is Jack Welnicek, by the way. You know, people tell
me... Oh, this is Jack. Okay.
My voice sounds so similar.
Okay. Hi, Jack. Say hi to Dennis for me.
Absolutely. And thank you so much, Tom, for coming on the show.
Thanks, Jack.
All right.
Bye.
All right. As I said, for the rest of the show here, we'll be talking with Arizona's teenage Republicans. You know, I'm always happy to have on the show people who are younger than I am, and that I feel like I can exude some authority over. So why don't we just introduce you guys real quick. I'm sitting here with Alex Hosmar, Lilia Deshevsky, and McLean Driver. Are you guys all in high school? Or?
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. And, you know, I think that why don't we – I know we got just a little bit of time here before we got to take our break, but let me throw this question out to you. How do you guys feel as young Republicans about what Bisbee's doing, about this civil union ordinance?
Well, personally, I don't agree with it. I think that the Attorney General is, you know, taking it correctly in a legal manner, and I think that the letter that he sent is correct. And, I mean, I just personally – I don't see – anything correct in what Bisbee's doing. That's my personal opinion.
Yeah, no, again, as a lawyer, I mean, the law is one thing, the policy is the other.
Right.
It's really kind of hard to criticize that legal position, regardless of how you feel about the policy. But we'll talk about it in the next segment. I do want to know how you guys feel about the policy. This is Jack Welnicek and Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX.
Join Dean Barber every Saturday at 11 a.m. for America's Wealth Management Show. Learn about tax reduction strategies, estate planning, and other important retirement topics. That's America's Wealth Management Show with host Dean Barber every Saturday at 11 a.m.
21 Degree Cigars has something for everyone, from the aficionado to the person trying their first cigar. 21 Degree Cigars offers a great selection of cigars, humidors, ashtrays, lighters, cutters, and gift packages. If you don't know what to buy for that special person, 21 Degree Cigars also has gift cards. Come visit 21 Degree Cigars located in Scottsdale. Mention KFNX Radio and get 10% off your purchase. Visit 21cigaraz.com. 21 Degree Cigars has something for everyone. 21cigaraz.com.
Bring your family for a day of fun at the Scottsdale Super Expo.
Presented by SRP at Westworld, April 6th and 7th.
With five expos in one, there's something for everyone. Discover hundreds of home, garden, and green living companies.
Shop the hottest fashions and beauty products in the Women's Pavilion.
Visit Arizona's largest health fair, sponsored by Scottsdale Healthcare's Fit City Scottsdale.
Adopt a pet at the Kids Fun Zone, including free bounce houses and games.
It's fun for everyone, April 6th and 7th at Westworld, Scottsdale Super Expo.
Free tickets at exposaz.com.
Michael Savage. Nights. 7 to 9. Independent Talk. 1100 KFNX.
NARPRO.com. Take 4.
If you're looking for a great mechanic, go to NARPRO.com. Why? Because all NARPRO.com members are independent, family-owned shops that get to know you, your car, and your budget. NARPRO.com. Your link to great, honest auto repair.
Stay up late. Alex Jones, After Dark, nights 1 to 3 a.m.
on Independent Time, 1100 KFNX, the home of the Alex Jones Show.
Hi, Dave and Rick Elton,
the real estate bros on KFNX.
Here to save you thousands with our new 4% discount listing.
That's right, only 4%. Elton Realty will list your home.
Full service. Talk about no hassle.
For more info, call 480-451-3318.
Underwater?
Get paid up to $35,000 to complete short sales.
Or download the Elton Realty app and get listings right to your phone.
That's 480-451-3318.
Elton Realty, real estate in the palm of your hand.
Ever wonder how to get more customers? Mobile advertising is a unique and effective way to advertise your business with leading mobile billboards. Your business is advertised on our mobile advertising trucks and will get seen by as many as 500,000 commuters in the valley daily. Want to know more? Go to leadingproductions.com/KFNX today and claim your exclusive offer for KFNX listeners. Remember, leadingproductions.com/KFNX.
Welcome back to Legalese, your host Jack Wilenchek, not Dennis Wilenchek, for those of you out there who may be listening thinking I'm Dennis Wilenchek. I want to thank again our Attorney General for coming on the show there for the first segment, talking about the Civil Union Ordinance in Bisbee. And, you know, the gist of his point is that there is such a thing as a legal, city ordinance about civil unions, but it has to deal with just things that are under the jurisdiction of the city. Such as consent to visit somebody in a hospital, that kind of thing. What this particular ordinance deals with is much more expansive than that. It deals with appointment of personal representatives for probate, after somebody dies. A lot of things that are very clearly, as I said to him, I find it very hard to disagree, that there are things that are very clearly state issues there. I mean, we're dealing with state statutes, state court, not with city court. So, chances are this is really just another it's a political statement, which, depending on how you feel about the underlying issue there of gay marriage, you may think it's a good political statement, you may think it isn't. So for the rest of the show, I've got in studio here from the Arizona Teenage Republican Association. Is that right? Are you guys an association or just a group?
Yeah, we're just a group.
All right, the Arizona Teenage Republicans group. Let me throw that out to you guys, and I think your perspective is particularly interesting because a lot of people are saying, Arizona is on the wrong side of history as it is right now. Civil unions, maybe even in legal gay marriage, are kind of inevitable. So just tell me, how do you guys feel about that? How do you feel about the policy there? Do you think we should legalize same-sex marriage?
Well, I think I personally, Mr. Wilenchek, don't believe that marriages between anything but a man and a woman. But then again, I don't want to contribute to, the congressional gridlock that's happening right now in Washington. I don't want to tell somebody who believes in gay marriage that they're wrong in this, because really it's a divisive social issue with no gray area. Mm-hmm. I don't believe that there really is any way we can make both sides happy. However we legislate, there half the people are going to be angry. So I find that, personally I don't believe in it, but then again, if it does become legal, I'm going to go about my life in the way that I, believe is right, which is, marrying a woman. But then again, in other words, it wouldn't be an issue that I would, fall on the sword for.
All right, let me break this down here, and mm-hmm. I apologize because I'm going to start dissecting you on the air.
All right.
Let me break this down. Mm-hmm. First of all, you're a young man. Obviously, you're a teenager, mm-hmm. being that you're a member of the Arizona Teenage Republicans group.
Yes.
Where do you is that something that your parents also believe? That marriage is between a man and a woman?
Yes, that's correct.
I've always thought that a lot of us get what we believe from our parents, mm-hmm. Typically from the community that we're raised in. But it does seem to me that the tides are shifting, and I think that's what you're trying to say. You can see mm-hmm. that, too. The tides are
yes.
shifting, and that there is a lot more support these days for same-sex marriage. Mm-hmm. It's becoming an issue even of if you still – if you do not believe in it, do you stand your ground, or do you give into it and just allow it to be legalized? Well, let me ask the rest of you guys too.
Sure.
Let me ask you, Lilia, what's your feeling about same-sex marriage?
Well, personally, I was raised in a really conservative, not politically wise, but conservative belief and moral upbringing household. I come from a family of immigrants, Russian Jewish immigrants. So I was really brought up and within my faith. And when I look at it, I see marriage as sanctity between a man and a woman for so many reasons, for the well-being of the child and in general, the creation and procreation of children. So again, I don't, you know, if I were to see, for example, a gay couple walking down the street, I wouldn't take it as far as to, you know, God forbid, harass them or taunt them. Absolutely not. I think that all people are created equal under the law. And I guess I just stand with the fact that marriage is definitely between a man and a woman. Yeah.
All right. And I'll ask my other guest here, McLean, how do you feel about it?
Well, both Alex and Leah brought up very good points. But I think it's very important to remember what marriage is for, and that is to procreate, and that is to raise children. And there's not really any changing that. You can't really change the definition of a word like that. That's like calling an apple an orange just because it wants to be called an orange.
You know, stepping back here for a moment, I gotta say, you guys are definitely in the more conservative end of of young people. Again, pretty obvious that you're, given that you're the teenage Republican group. But I gotta say, you know, a lot of young people, you know, are in favor of same-sex marriage. So as I listen to you guys, you know, the thought that comes to my mind is again, these are probably things that your parents believe in. And that you've adopted their beliefs. I mean, is that fair to say, Lilia?
Well, personally, politically, I always like to say that I got my parents involved because when my parents, my family came to the States, the last thing on their mind was politics. It was about how to raise a family and how to put bread on the table. So I tend to disagree. I think that my faith has put a lot into me, absolutely. But I also think that I myself have done a lot of research and put in a lot of hours to figure out where I stand on issues.
You know, that's the other big thing here. Yeah, there's a very strong religious angle to this entire debate, to the point where it's being used against people. Some people are probably trying to use it, you know, for their position. You know, I just saw that Laura Ingraham, who's a host on this station, was being, you know, I saw there was a big flap about how she. She tried to defend. She was criticizing a lot of people in the media for calling, you know, the people who are against gay marriage, Bible thumpers. You know, she didn't like that term. There's mm-hmm. you know, there's a big religious angle to this. Mm-hmm. You know, I gotta say personally that I am in favor of same-sex marriage. I'm a very conservative guy, mm-hmm. but I can see the tides are turning. And
yeah.
You know, even as you said before, Lilia, you personally don't feel that, you know, gays should be discriminated against or you know, you shouldn't say anything harassing to them on the street. You know, the reason I feel that way is that having been trained as a lawyer, I see how, in a way, same-sex marriages or people in same-sex marriages are discriminated against under the law.
Yeah.
And that, of course, is what, you know, the guys down at Bisbee are trying to change, is you know, there's a whole range of ways legally that they're essentially discriminated against.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. You know, going from, you know, if you show up to a hospital and ask to see your partner, that, you know, you'll be denied, given that you're not really family, you're not really married, you won't be allowed to see them, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But, you know, this issue, as you guys know, is in front of the Supreme Court right now. And personally, I feel the way that, and I know a lot of commentators feel the way that'll turn out, is that, you know, the federal law which prohibits same-sex marriage, the Defense of Marriage Act,
right.
will probably be struck down, again, purely on legal grounds, because typically family issues, marriage, are matters that are regulated by the state.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, again, that issue kind of crops up here with the Bisbee thing, because
right.
They're trying to regulate matters that belong to the state, not to a city. It's kind of the same thing on a smaller
yeah.
level. But the way that all come out, most likely, is that that states will continue to be allowed to regulate same-sex marriage in the way they see fit, and it'll just come down to the way the people in the state feel about it. Mm-hmm. But that's enough about that hot topic. Of course, if anybody out there wants to call in and talk about it, it's 602-277-KFNX. That's 602-277-5369. You know, prove me wrong. Tell me how you feel about the issue of same-sex marriage and civil unions. But let me move on here with you guys in the next 2 minutes we have before we have to take our half-hour break. As young Republicans, and you know, maybe this is just a stereotype in my head that you guys need to disabuse me of, but I feel like a lot of young people tend to be liberals. They tend to be more liberal-leaning. Mm-hmm. You know, I think Winston Churchill had an old saying that, you know, every man in his youth is a liberal, and, you know, in his old age turns into a conservative.
Yeah.
So, I mean, do you guys think that's true? Do you think younger people tend to be more liberal?
Oh, definitely. They definitely tend to be more emotionally driven just because – I think it's just because, anyway, that they don't recognize how the liberal aspects of their beliefs will affect how they actually live later on in life, because they're taken care of by their parents. Mm-hmm. Their parents pay for things, you know, they pay the taxes, they get all the food and everything. But they don't really experience that side of it until they really get out into the world and they start paying taxes.
Now, you know? I personally would agree with that completely. Mm-hmm. I think I've experienced that myself. You know, as a young man, of course, your parents take care of you. My parents took care of me. I was and my mom happens to be somewhat liberal, so I tended towards more her view of things.
Right.
But as I've gotten older, as I've had to pay taxes and make a living, you know, I've started to moderate that a lot and turn more conservative. What do you think? Do you think the same thing, Lilia, that a lot of young people are generally liberal?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that apart from what McLean said is absolutely right, but I also think that a large part of it is played by the media and is played by our education system, too.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. That is worth talking about. All right, this is Jack Wilenchek on Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX, and you are listening to Legalese.
NBC News Radio, I'm Paige Hopkins. President Obama has taken his push for gun law reform on the road to Colorado today.
If you want to buy a gun, whether it's from a licensed dealer or a private seller, you should at least have to pass a background check to show you're not a criminal or someone legally prohibited from buying one.
The president says Colorado's new gun laws show there doesn't have to be a conflict between protecting the right to own firearms and keeping firearms away from people who shouldn't have them. The Pentagon is deploying a ballistic missile defense system to Guam to strengthen protections against a possible North Korean attack. Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel says the U.S. continues to take North Korea's threats seriously.
As they have ratcheted up their bellicose, dangerous rhetoric and some of the actions they've taken over the last few weeks present a real and clear danger and threat to the interests, certainly, of our allies.
This is NBC News Radio.
Arizona News Radio. It's the first full day of freedom for a man in prison for 42 years.
Flanked by his lawyers and those from the Arizona Justice Project, Lewis Taylor was overwhelmed with emotion, welling up with tears several times as he thanked God for the efforts that won him his release from a natural life sentence dating back to 1970 at the Tucson Pioneer Hotel fire when he was convicted in the deaths of 29 people.
Attorney General Tom Horn will sue the Bisbee City Council after they approve a civil union ordinance.
You can't change a state statute by a city council saying that the statute will be different within its borders than it will be statewide. State statutes are statewide.
Domestic violence expert again testifying in the Jody Arias trial.
She talks about unconditional love several times that I remember, for sure, and in interviews with her. But she also does not talk about being jealous.
Animal statues not actually stolen from a home near Prescott.
Recently, he decided to go pick them up after all these years, which he did. He said he left a note on the door.
George Tanner, Arizona News.
This check of your KFNX traffic brought to you by Hammer Mill Paper. Tempe crews are still on scene at that serious accident on Rio Salado Parkway, Loop 101 Price Road. Litchfield Park, an accident involving a bicycle on Indian School Road west of Litchfield Road. Phoenix, a collision on 19th Avenue south of Cactus Road. And finally in Tempe, a wreck on Mill Avenue at Hermosa Drive. Hammer Mill Paper is 99.9% jam-free, guaranteed. Don't you wish traffic was? Hammer Mill Paper, no worries.
Jim Howe from the KFNX Weather Center, well above normal for this first week in April. As a matter of fact, we're 93 degrees tomorrow, a good 12 degrees above that normal mark. We keep it at 90 or above throughout the weekend, but finally some cooler air next week. Jim Howe, Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX.
Currently, it's 87 degrees in downtown Phoenix. Next news in 30 minutes or when it breaks, right here on Independent Talk 1100 KFNX.
The Dream Interpretation Show, every Wednesday from 9 to 10 p.m. Dr. Carl, clinical psychologist and dream analyst, will interpret your dreams. The Dream Interpretation Show, Wednesday evenings from 9 to 10 p.m.
Engaging conversation is one of the best ways to prevent your child from making destructive decisions. That is why there is MASK. Mothers Awareness on School-Age Kids is a nonprofit organization that will help you and your child navigate today's challenges. Whether it be the age-old issues of substance abuse or depression, or the modern issue of cyberbullying, MASK magazine illuminates a clear path for your child to make healthy decisions. Subscribe today for just $24. Visit maskmatters.org.
I'm John Tesh. Coming up this week on Intelligence for Your Life, did you know your sensitivity to pain is linked to the color of your hair? I have the facts on why redheads, for example, need 20% more anesthesia before surgery than blondes or brunettes. Fascinating story. Also, we have another reason to eat more vegetables. A new study shows that just having veggies on our plate makes us look smarter and more caring. I'll tell you why. Intelligence for Your Life on the John Tesh Radio Show. Listen to me Saturdays at 10 p.m. or online at 1100KFNX.com.
The sources I have for information are unique and better because they're based upon real life experiences.
Herman Cain, afternoons 5 to 7, right here on Independent Talk 1100 KFNX.
The Business to Business Network Show every Saturday at 6 a.m. Celebrating 14 consecutive years of showcasing local businesses on the radio. Commerce happens on the Business to Business Network Show every Saturday at 6 a.m.
Tune in to the Edward Woodson Show with me, your host, Edward Woodson. We'll talk business, politics, and the things that really make you mad.
Catch the Edward Woodson Show, weekdays from 5 to 6 a.m., only on Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX.
Hey, welcome back to Legalese. Your host, Jack Wilinchek, Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX. And for the rest of the show, I'm going to be talking to Arizona's teenage Republicans. And I think we're also going to be joined by Nancy Bartow in the Arizona legislature. Just let me know when we've got her on the line. I think what we went out to the break there with was the very touchy issue of civil unions, and I started to back away from that because it's almost too touchy. But the last question I put to you guys was, do you find that a lot of young people tend to be liberal? And Lily, I think the last thing you said was that you think that part of the reason has to do with a lot of education professionals, a lot of schools, a lot of professors tend to be liberal. Yep. Now, I personally went to New York University, where I absolutely saw that.
Right.
But then New York University kind of has a reputation for being liberal to begin with.
Yeah.
But I do think personally it has a little bit of truth to it. I do think a lot of education professionals tend to be a little bit more liberal or liberal leaning. Hard to say what the real reason for that is. But I guess given that a lot of young people go to school, that has some effect on why a lot of people tend to be liberal.
Absolutely, yeah. And, you know, the one thing that I meant to you by my comment was the fact that, you know, teachers can absolutely have their own opinion. I mean, they're human just like all of us sitting in this room today. However, when it comes to the point where their emotions, just like McLean was talking about, even with teenagers, when emotions take over and they start introducing their emotions or their opinions as facts to the rest of us, I think that is where we have a problem as society.
You guys are nodding your heads. Is there something in particular you're thinking of, an example where you've seen that personally?
I'd say so, yes. Definitely throughout the years when I've been taking history or social sciences, absolutely. Because, I mean, then again, there are things like math or science where you can't – well, certain parts of science where you can't exactly, you know, put in your own personal opinion
or
your own
touch. Yeah,
it's pretty
cut and dry.
Yeah.
No, it's usually in the history classes where you feel that there might be some kind of bias that the teacher injects. You know, we'll keep talking more about that. But I know we've just been joined by Nancy Bartow on the line. Nancy, thank you for coming on the show. Do we have her? Do we lose her? Nancy, are you there?
I'm here.
Hey, Nancy. Thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thanks so much. Boy, listening to these teams is just so encouraging. Having them talking about the issues from the Republican perspective is just so exciting. Talking about issues at all is very encouraging. I think as a sophomore in high school, I was still trying to figure out how to get through geometry class.
Yeah, I don't know how you guys manage to get inspired, but I got to say that it is a pretty cool thing. I was pretty politically inactive and generally very inactive when I was younger. So, kudos to all of you. You know, Nancy, I think what I want to ask you here is kind of the same question I've been asking these guys. I said to them, I mean, in my experience, a lot of young people tend to be more liberal. And Nancy, I'd like to ask you that same question. Do you find that there aren't enough Republican youth?
Well, you know, I think that it's true. Our education system has had a lot to do with that. And our society in general is just becoming so much more emotionally based. And then we have lawmakers that are elected on that basis and making laws emotionally rather than rationally and looking at, you know, how they will play out in society. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's discouraging in one way and yet very encouraging when you see teenagers like Lilia and the others in the studio that really are putting the kind of thought into where they stand on issues, not from the emotional standpoint, but really grappling with them. And it shows that the message is getting through. You know, I think that politics affects their lives, and young people are realizing that, and many are opposing. You know, they're becoming rational. They're voting. They're thinking about things more rationally. But it's a two-edged sword. I just hope we just have to keep on making our points. And fighting the good fight. We can't obviously give up. We've got to keep making our arguments to young people and being an example to them.
And that was going to be my next question was, you know, the Republican Party has been, I guess, criticized for not reaching out to the right kinds of groups. And typically the list of those groups includes, you know, younger people and also usually includes minorities. You know, I guess the question is, what can the Republican Party do to reach out some more to those groups? I'll put that question to you, Nancy. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think it has to be a concerted effort to, you know, get on the college campuses and reach out to them more. Part of that is probably a political problem because so many of them have are ruled, so to speak, by liberals. So it's tough to get in. You know, we've got David Horowitz fighting his battles. But, you know, the party can do more by really encouraging these groups and backing them up, coming to speak and talking about the issues. And I think, you know, when it comes right down to it, though, I think parents are the most influential.
Absolutely.
In a person's life. I know that's the way it was in my home. And, you know, it's just, you know, are we as parents, I think we have to look at ourselves. Are we reading the paper? Are we talking about issues at home and how they're affecting our business, our personal life with our kids? It's just, it has to become personal. And if it's not, I think we're just missing the boat right there.
You know, one of my guests here in the studio, McLean, said earlier that a big part of it, and I can say this was true for me too, comes from as you get older and as you take on more responsibilities, you start to see, you start to just generally become more conservative. I mean, I'll throw out that quote by Winston Churchill that every man is youth, you know, is a liberal. Every man and as he gets older, you know, is a conservative. You know, a good part of it might just come from really, you know, getting kids out there into the real world so they can kind of see that other side to the issues.
Yeah.
You know, Alex, you're shaking your head there in agreement with me, I think. Let me know, what's your perspective on this?
Well, I believe that in schools, there are different interest groups or different people that really influence the youth with regards to politics, parents being one of them that McLean has just said, as well as the institutions you're brought up in, you know, with education. I mean, I'm a senior right now going off to college and thinking, I mean, coming up through the ranks of you know, lower school, middle school, upper school, you definitely have that consistent harping of liberal ideas throughout the media. And that's why I feel that groups like the Teenage Republicans bring a little bit of, not, I wouldn't say fresher, but a different perspective to what can often be dominated on school campuses. And I feel that our mission isn't necessarily to be domineering and say this is wrong, you guys are irrational, but rather to bring a different perspective to really bring this political idea full circle.
Yeah, you know, if nothing else, I know that in my heart I like to be devil's advocate, and I do like the idea of just having some fresh air to any conversation. And I do. I think it's unfortunate that maybe that is a good part of the answer, is that education professionals do tend to be a little bit more liberal, and younger people look toward whatever authority figure is in their life, whether it's a professor or whoever. I do think that they should make more an effort to show more of the conservative perspective. But again, maybe I'm just talking from my own experience going to New York University, which, as I said, was an extremely liberal university. I do think that we're pointing in a good direction. And, I think in a way here, Nancy, really we're just grappling with kind of age-old issues here. I mean, again, like the Winston Churchill quote, as people get older, they tend to, grasp more their responsibilities in their life. And really, to me, that's what the Republican Party is about, is what are your responsibilities in life?
Yeah, I think that does tend to be the case. But it's just incredible how I think we've neglected, teaching our true history to the last few generations and really talking about why America is America and why it's been successful. Acknowledging that it pretty much is a very liberal institution. Public education is a liberal institution now in America. That's why private education and charter schools, homeschooling is thriving. It's because parents are bucking up against that. Mm. We have an uphill battle to fight. I just applaud what the TARs are doing, and I wish we could just multiply them 1,000-fold, and let us know how we can help. Because we're depending on the next generation to really help our issues go forward. If the Republican Party just continues to give in, like we have on spending and taxes over the last decades, we're really
going nowhere. Yeah, I'm with you. All right, Nancy, I know you got to run, but I want to thank you so much for coming on the show, Nancy Bartow. And this is Jack Wilenchek on Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX.
Thank you.
Hi, friends. Scott Luther, the king of gold and silver. Join the protest against Wall Street. Buy silver. Why? Silver in long term will outperform gold 3-1. The world's best experts on our roundtable panel, Mike Maloney, invests 90% of his net worth into silver.
I'm a precious metals investor. My only investment is gold and silver. I'm fully diversified. I've got both gold and silver. Mostly silver. About 90% of the cash that I have, I buy silver.
Mahoney predicts silver to hit $1,500 in the long term and over $100 by the year's end. Call me and lock in this non-confiscatable silver at only 1% over dealer's cost. Call before the silver supply is gone. 1-888-551-2646. I pay for shipping. Hurry. Turn 10K into 50K, 50K into $250,000. 888-551-2646. Hi-ho, silver away.
Hi-ho, silver!
I remember the moment.
I'll never forget that moment.
As long as I live.
As long as I live.
Several of us were working to rescue a family.
The house collapsed on top of the cellar door and trapped them.
We had to use Humvees and heavy machinery to move massive trees and debris.
We got them out.
We helped a lot of people out.
It felt good to know I could really make a difference.
Because I'm a citizen soldier in the National Guard.
Be there the moment your community needs you. Learn more at NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Arizona National Guard. Aired by the Arizona Broadcasters Association and this station.
I'm Connie Selica, and coming up this week on Intelligence for Your Health, it turns out that flossing isn't just good for your smile. I'll explain why it can also improve your memory, help your body fight infection, and even help prevent cancer. And we'll talk to gastroenterologist Dr. Dustin James. He'll tell us the key foods we need to keep our digestive system working well, what causes ulcers, and we'll find out if it's normal not to go to the bathroom for days on end. All that and more this weekend on Intelligence for Your Health.
Welcome back to Legalese, your host Jack Wilinchek, and just closing out the show here. I'm talking to Arizona's teenage Republicans, and we've talked about various things here. You know, to kick off the show, we were fortunate enough to be honored with the state attorney general, who was talking about the new civil union ordinance in Bisbee and how he intends to file suit against that pretty darn quick. I think he said 10 days. So we've talked about that a little bit, and then I think for the last couple segments, we've just been kind of expressing our I think, a shared opinion that a lot of young people just overwhelmingly are liberal. And I don't know if that's even a historical thing. Probably is, you know, again, going back to the Winston Churchill quote, you know, everybody's kind of liberal when they're younger, and they get conservatives as they get older. But I'll throw this open to you guys for the rest of the show. And by the way, I do want to put out in the air, I know you guys have an event coming up.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Lily.
It's going to be, actually, it's this Saturday, April 6th at 6:30 to 9:30. We are hosting it at the Scottsdale Plaza Resort. And it's basically the Teenage Republicans annual banquet fundraiser featuring the incredible Benjamin Shapiro. And for those listeners that don't know who he is the editor-at-large of Breitbart.com. He has his own radio show. Actually, two of them, I believe, and he is a multiple-time best-selling author. So if you guys would like to go ahead and buy tickets, you can visit www.aztars.com and click on our events page, and it'll redirect you to where you can reserve your ticket.
All right, there you go, guys. If you're out there and you're a young teenage Republican, or I guess anybody, can go check that out. For the rest of the show, I want to throw this open to you guys, because I've got a whole list of questions here to ask you, but I want to know, What are the big priorities for you guys as young teenage Republicans? What are the big issues that you guys feel are out there?
Well, we feel that every issue in the Republican Party is a big issue.
So you generally agree with the big platform stuff?
We generally agree with the big platform, yes. But also another one of our goals is really just to spread the conservatism throughout our peers and express our views and things like that. We kind of bounce ideas off each other, and we learn from each other, and yeah. It's really all about just mm-hmm. spreading the word and mm-hmm. getting people active.
All right. Go ahead.
I believe a big component to at least my meetings at Phoenix Country Day School, which is the school I'm chairman of the Republicans for, is really about bringing in both parties, bringing in independents, libertarians, and kids who associate with different parties. Because, as I said in our last segment, it's about really broadening everybody's horizons about politics. Because we've talked about how liberal the education system is in America, and so I believe that bringing people who maybe don't already associate with the Republican Party into our meetings, I think that's an integral part of broadening everybody's horizons and making everybody aware of both sides to be able to juxtapose the two and then end up choosing for themselves.
Yeah.
I think I know what you mean. As a young guy myself, you know, I feel like, and being a Republican myself, I think that a lot of it is about kind of redefining what the party is going to mm-hmm. be for us.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Because, you know, I'll just tell you a quick story. I mean, I went to a Republican Party meeting last month, probably about a month ago. And, you know, I brought along my girlfriend, who's an immigrant to this country. She's from Mexico, came here when she was 16 years old. You know, and believe it or not, she is very conservative. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of immigrants tend to be very conservative.
Right.
So she came with me to the meeting. You know, she's interested in becoming Republican. She got her citizenship a couple months ago, actually. And, you know, we're sitting there in the meeting, and a lot of older people in the room, you know, a lot of political people tend to be older. you know, I guess we can talk about that some more a little bit. But you know, we're sitting there in the room, and you know, one of the older persons there at the meeting, at the Republican meeting, raises her hand, and I think the issue was you know, the stuff with Brewer and Access. You know, it was kind of irrelevant to what she said. She raised her hand and said, you know, well, I mean, does this, you know, how does this apply to illegal immigrants? And, you know, and started going on about illegal immigrants. And, you know, I just kind of looked over at my girlfriend and, you know, I almost felt sorry that she had to hear it. Because to me, that should not be a big issue for us. You know, to me, the Republican Party is all about responsibility. It's all about, you know, doing what's right and you know, being careful about the risk you take. You know, to me, it's as a young person, it's important to kind of redefine the party along more the kind of things that we really believe in. You know, I don't know that a lot of young people have very strong feelings, you know, along the lines of again, as we're talking early in the show, you know, for example, same-sex marriage. A lot of young people tend to be more moderate on that. There are a lot of things I think younger people are more moderate on. You know, what are some of the other examples you guys would think of besides that?
Well, forgive me, but I'd like to stay on the immigration issue.
Go ahead.
It's a lot of younger people tend to be more liberal when it comes to this issue.
Or more moderate. Right. More moderate.
Yeah, more moderate. And it's challenging because we allow all these people to come into our country and then they go through the school system. And then we don't allow them to work because they're not citizens. And I agree that we need to reform this. We need to reform our system.
Exactly. Yeah.
But we just need to do something about it. You know?
Right. And I find that a lot of younger people do tend to be more moderate on that. They do take that position that, well, the system's broken. But you know, you know, it's not this thing of you know, let's kick him out or amnesty and all that kind of stuff. I don't hear a lot of young people saying that. I hear that a lot from people who are complaining about amnesty and all that kind of stuff back in the 80s.
Right.
But young people don't even remember that, you know, and they don't take that kind of position.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I do think that we have to. I'm including myself with you guys. I'm a young guy too. Right? I'm not in high school, but we do have to redefine the party and what it means for younger people.
Yeah.
You know, again, I hear some of that kind of thing, and you know, I don't want to point you know at anybody necessarily, but you know, we do hear a lot. At least I hear a lot of harsher views in the Republican Party that just don't mesh. And I know they don't mesh with a lot of people my age.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Well, I mean, I can throw out some issues here. I've got a whole long list of them.
Right.
You know, some of these are more bigger issues than others. For example, I don't know, the death penalty. I don't know. How do you guys, as young Republicans, how do you feel about the death penalty?
Well, back to kind of what you were saying and regarding death penalty as well. I'll get to that. But, you know, the fact of young people and how our views don't necessarily clash with the Republican Party or conservatives or libertarians, whatever you identify as. But going to CPAC this year, and I know this is old Republican news in a sense, but it was so refreshing to see so many young people there and so many people that are so heavily involved. And in fact, you know, even if we're not even talking about a regular Joe on the street, but if we're talking about, for example, Rand Paul and Marco Rubio and the next generation of, you know, 30 to 40 to 50-year-olds, even 50-year-olds that are going to be potentially taking over this country, give it, you know, up until 2016, 2014 even. And I think that's what actually captured a lot of people's views. And in fact, when I was talking to a lot of my friends that are liberal, a few of them even said, well, you know, did you hear about this Rand Paul guy when he was filibustering? I mean, I was watching C-SPAN for the first time, and I was like, well, that's incredible. And there, I just think that is what we need, perhaps, in politics at this point in time, is a fresh new look at what is going on in the world. Because as great as it is to have people on the older spectrum, such as John McCain, for example, you know, it's always nice to get younger people involved, and I think that's especially what'll help this country get back on course.
Sure, yeah, no, I know what you mean. Young people do have that kind of, I don't know, just an independent bent to them and to their ideas. You know, for example, on the death penalty, I personally, I have kind of a wild, you know, view on that, which probably conflicts with a lot of young people. I think I am in favor of that because, you know, I've talked to homicide detectives, and they tell me about how, you know, they got to go in to testify like 30 years later for some guy who's claiming insanity when his crimes are just so so unspeakably awful. You know, and so much there's so much money that goes toward keeping, you know, between the lawyers who, you know, typically very very leftist lawyers who fight those kind of cases, you know, pro bono, God bless them. But you know, it's there's a lot of it's definitely an issue where I think, you know, I think I do have kind of a wild view, and I think I am in support of the death penalty. But you know, even though I think probably a lot of young people are against it. But, you know, there's the music. Unfortunately, we're going to have to wrap this up, guys. But I want to thank you so much for coming on the show. I've been talking
to
young Republicans, Alex Osmar, Lily Deshevsky, and McLean Driver. Thank you so much, guys, for coming on the show. This is Jack Wilinchek on Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX.
Gilbert Hospital offers a no-wait emergency room. Close by at Power and Ray, Gilbert Hospital is your community hospital with the best of what an ER should be. Patient-focused, Gilbert Hospital has been your local community healthcare provider since 2006. When it's an emergency, Gilbert Hospital won't keep you waiting around, and your emergency visit is in-network. At Gilbert Hospital, we put you first. We personalize your treatment and give you the highest quality care in a compassionate environment. Get to know Gilbert Hospital. Visit GilbertER.com.
Honestly provocative talk radio on the Lars Larson Show.
These so-called right-to-work laws, they don't have to do with economics. They have everything to do with politics.
Huh? What's he talking about?
What they're really talking about is giving you the right to work for less money.
The state of Michigan passing the right-to-work law that says a union can't force you to be a member of the union just because you happen to work in a certain workplace. And now the president is advocating against that worker freedom.
I'm Lars Larson. Listen to me weekdays right here on Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX.
You're listening to Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX, Cave Creek, Phoenix, a division of Premier Radio Stations. It's 5 o'clock.